Back on downtown, it's 4:31, your Monday afternoon. Let's talk a little Boston sports and more as we welcome in Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Happy Monday to you, Mr. Finn.
Happy Monday to you, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. You were telling me in the break there that you're, are you icing today, stretching? You got roped into doing yard work over the weekend. Don't these people know who they're dealing with?
I'm at the stage of life where if you spend half an hour putting mulch down, you're on the injured list the next day. So just hobbling around here like an old man as usual.
Well, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that mulch. There, you know, there's bending, there's trying to open those big bags if you've done that way, and then spreading it out. There, a lot of muscles come into play in that effort.
Stacking them up in the yard to make it look like I'm doing more than I am.
That's another one. I like that idea. That's a pretty good one. Good. Well, you take it slow with us today. We don't want you to pull anything else.
I'm already broken down. Nothing on this show is going to make it work.
All right. All right. By the way, what a terrific piece you posted over the weekend on Al Horford.
Oh, thanks. I had a really hard time writing that one and procrastinated the heck out of it. So I was glad. I was pretty happy the way it came out. I was supposed to write something for his birthday because we're really running out of ideas here waiting all these days for game one on Thursday. And so my editor asked me to write a little tribute to him as he turns 38. And for some reason, I think maybe because Kyrie Irving in our consciousness right now, that I flash back to covering the Celtics when they lost to the Bucks at the end of the 19 season and Kyrie quit on them, and never seen a team with less interested in talking to each other after a game as that one was. And Horford surprisingly opted out and left as a free agent not too long after, and it felt like the end of something. And so to have Al back here and have Jalen and Jason all grown up and the pieces fitting on this team again, just felt like a nice juxtaposition from where they were then to where they are now.
No question about that. Well, if you haven't seen it yet, check it out at Boston.com. Wonderful piece on Al Horford. So what do we think of this matchup? There are a lot of things in play here, both in terms of talent and, of course, as you alluded to, in terms of personalities.
Yeah, I feel really good about it, and I'm terrified, too. I think
probably
how most people would call themselves Celtics fans or even covering this team think about it right now, because they're the better team. They are. They're deeper. Dallas has the best player in Luka Doncic, and the wild card in Kyrie Irving, who's played brilliant basketball in the playoffs, but we know how mercurial he can be. You look at the Celtics, they have maybe the second and third best player, certainly the second, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown's playing fantastic. But then you get into the quality depth of the roster with Derek White, Drew Holiday, Horford, Porzingis, if he looks like himself coming back. And that's where the Celtics really have an advantage. But I hope if they win this, they win it in six, because I'm not sure my nerves could take a tight game seven with the way Dallas has closed games compared to how the Celtics did it over much of the season. They were excellent at it in the Indiana series and felt like maybe they took even another leap forward with the way they played at the end of games in that series. But I just do not have much suspense in this one if we can avoid it, because Dallas is a frightening team when the game's on the line.
Well, and they have done a better job of closing teams out here in this year's postseason. How much of that credit should go to Joe Mazzulla?
Quite a bit. I think he's grown tremendously as a coach this year. I still would like to see him maybe push them a little bit more on shot selection and some of their late game decision making, at least during the season. But even in the Indiana series, game four, he called a timeout and said, "You guys need to stop moping. We're not playing well and we're not that far behind, and get your heads back into this game." And they did, and they swept the series. And I haven't heard a lot of stories about Joe giving him a kick in the butt like that. So that feels like progress to me too. He's very smart basketball guy. I think one of the things that served him well this year, and I know for a fact ownership and the Brad Stevens front office talked to him about this after last season, Try to be Bill Belichick in your press conferences. Don't be abrupt and condescending and short. Explain things, because you're a really smart basketball guy and you're really good at talking about basketball, even complex concepts. So show that to people. Show that to the fans. Show that to the media, and they'll come over to your corner a little bit more. And that's happened. He can still be abrupt, but then after that, he will explain things really well. And you're like, okay, maybe I don't agree with that, but it makes a lot of sense. I understand his thinking. And that served him really well this year. I don't know how to gauge the coaching matchup in this series, because Jason Kidd is a guy who wasn't well regarded as a tactician in previous jobs, but has done a really good job with Dallas. So I think we get a battle of two coaches here who are in different stages of their careers, but both have had pretty significant growth recently.
Well, and it has to help Joe Mazzulla to have the incredible depth of knowledge of the league and of basketball that he's got in his assistant coaches.
Yeah, Sam Cassell was such a great addition. I mean, Charles Lee, too. And Charles Lee has the previous relationship with Drew Holiday. They won a ring together in Milwaukee, and comes in with this reputation as a great teacher and a smart guy. He was overdue to get a head coaching job. And, you know, he's got the Charlotte one, so he'll be leaving after this. But he was a great addition. But Cassell is fantastic. He never stops talking. He's always coaching somebody. I saw him at practice the other day. He was working with all the main Celtics guys because he didn't have anything else to do, because everybody else was dispersing after practice. So he stayed late and worked with Drew Peterson and JD Davison and those guys. He's always working. He's always got a positive word for somebody. And he's a guy who won three rings, including as a 38-year-old with the 2008 Celtics. So you can't have more credibility than he has. And it's just been an incredible asset to the coaching staff, especially when you look at what Mazzulla had last year, which was basically holdovers from Ime Udoka's staff. And then Damon Stoudemire left during the season, so it even got more of a skeleton crew there. So one of the major upgrades on this team this year, and there have been a few of them, but maybe the biggest is on their bench.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Well, speaking of positivity, nobody spread it more in the last decade or two than Bill Walton. Did you encounter him along the way? And then certainly I know you did as a fan and a viewer, but we had him on the show a number of years ago. And my goodness, it was just, Bill, you take the reins and you let us know where you're going. It was great.
Did you even get one question in, or did he just start talking when you told him he was on the air?
Pretty much go. And that was it. And he would let me know if we needed to say anything, which usually was not the case.
Yeah, I had two interactions with him. One was that in 2016, Celtics did a anniversary thing for their 76, 86, and 66 teams, and they got any player who wanted to come from those teams went to the Liberty Hotel in Boston. Really cool old place, used to be a jail. It's a fantastic spot. And I got to cover that for the Globe and go to an event afterwards where all the players told stories, and nobody was happier than Bill Walton. And Mikhail was there, Bill Russell was there, and Walton was like a kid meeting his heroes, which is just fantastic to see. And I wrote about him the other day. I used some quotes that he gave me from that event. But the other time I talked to him was I think when his book came out around 2009, and had an hour, and we used the entire hour, and I think I asked three questions. He asked one off the top. He talks for 20 minutes, and goes off in a billion different directions, and then comes back, circles back to his original point. And it was fantastic. It was one of my favorite days of my career, actually, because I got to interview Bill Walton and Bo Jackson on the same day.
Wow.
And they were both very nice. So it was something I always remember.
And I know people have differing opinions, but I always enjoy the heck out of him as a broadcaster.
Yeah, I mean, I think he found the perfect niche, at the end on the West Coast games with Dave Pasch and the Pac-12, sort of like Walton After Dark a little bit, where ESPN, I think it was organic at first, where Walton just was himself and would off in all those different directions, and they eventually encouraged it, and Pasch was the perfect foil as the straight man who, you know, he loved it, but he kind of pretended he was like just trying to call the game, and Walton was a nuisance. So it was sort of almost an Oscar and Felix thing with the two of them. And it really worked, and it made Walton, I think, even more popular broadcaster and personality than he was before, which, you know, beloved NBA player, one of the greatest college players of all time, a personality that everybody loved, and it seemed like a great way for him to cap his basketball or basketball adjacent career. And just one other thing about him, I mentioned how great he was as a player, and you know, Bob Ryan to this day insists he would be his number one pick if you know, he had been healthy out of any player ever played the game. But everything you heard after he passed away, very, very little of it had to do with basketball. It was always people sharing a personal experience for them with them that was really fulfilling, and usually had this tone of Walton trying to make them feel good about themselves or feel good about something. And heck of a legacy when you were as good at basketball as he was, and it's not even the first thing people talk about when they remember you.
Speaking of broadcasting, you wrote in yesterday's Globe about a couple of well-known names that have surfaced. One we've discussed already in the hunt to become the new voice of the Boston Bruins.
Yeah. Dave Gosher, who was the radio voice for the Bruins for 17 years and had some just all-time great calls. I mean, Bergeron, get the duck boats ready. Was great at his job, and he left to become the TV play-by-play voice of Las Vegas when they launched their franchise. He's been out there 7 years now, I think. He is who the Bruins want. Kim Neely reached out to him directly and to gauge his interest. I had actually talked to Dave just on background about a month ago, and he said, you know, I'm happy out here. I'd listen, but, you know, not really anticipating moving from Vegas. But then Neely and the Bruins reached out. So, you know, maybe he has another little bit deeper thinking to do about it. And Dave comes back here, Rhode Island, in the summers. His wife's from New England. So they have never really lost their ties here. So I think it would be a matter of actually if Nesson was willing to pay the going rate for someone of his magnitude. But if they were, I think there's a chance they could get him back. Otherwise, they're doing auditions out in Watertown. It's a very coveted job. But I know Cam Neely in particular would like Dave Gosher to be the one to get that job.
So I don't know if this is what the Red Sox ownership and management had in mind this year, but it seems that they have become all about the feel-good stories of career minor leaguers who finally get their shot. 6 weeks ago, it was, what's his name, Cam Boozer, and now it's Jamie Westbrook, who spent 11 years in the minor leagues. Those are great stories. It's wonderful. But they bring in Dennis Quaid next. Who was the old Tampa Bay pitcher he played?
Jim Moore.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, Jim Morris. Yeah, came up with the Rays and got the Disney movie made about him, and was gone about as fast as he was here. But it was a heck of a story. Yeah, it's, I guess it tells you a couple of things that they've had a lot of attrition where they have to call up these guys who haven't had any major league experience or have long runs in the minor leagues before they get a chance, which isn't a good thing. But I know Westbrook, there's a lot the Red Sox like about him. I guess he has a great barrel rate. He hits the ball the way that they want you to hit the ball. By all accounts, he's a very well-regarded teammate in the minor leagues. He bounced around from organization to organization. So it's the kind of guy you like to see get a chance. But, you know, talking about the Red Sox this week, I just couldn't believe Sam Kennedy said that it felt like they were underachieving because the team's playing 500 baseball with guys that have spent 11 years in AAA. I feel like they're being where they are right now at 31-31, I think it is pretty impressive considering the things they've had to
endure. Right. Well, was that a shot across the bow at Alex Cora, who seems certain is going to leave?
Yeah, I think that's what we're looking at here is probably they're going to pin a little bit of it on Cora if he leaves. And, you know, they don't make the playoffs this year, which they won't because they're not good enough. But, yeah, it's very transparent, right? You can see right through it. So I don't know who they think they're fooling. I mean, people people already were looking at that and saying, what the heck is he talking about?
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown. Great talking with you. As always, Chad, listen, you got some time before you go on the Portland stations. Ice, or just stay loose so you're ready for them and can bring your A game as you always do with us.
I got to go write a 100-word prediction for the finals. So I think Celtics in six. Is that the way to go?
I think so. I would lean heavily toward that, yes.
Okay, that's what it'll be.
All right.
We workshopped it.
Excellent. Thanks, Chad.
All right, see you, Rich.
Chad.